Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is Chris Von Erich, and we got a hell of a show for you tonight, and it all starts right now.
I am Chris Von Erich. Come on, Franklin.
That's hot.
Are you serious?
If you walk around looking like that, you deserve it.
I got something to say about that. This is The Red Lens.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Chris Von Erich. This is The Red Lens for Thursday in October here. We are in the Hallows Eves of October with Halloween just around the corner. And since we're talking about scary things, to my right here is the most scariest man that I know.
Boo.
Franklin, how are you tonight?
Boo. I'm doing all right, Chris. I can't complain. I understand we have a whale of a show.
We have a whale of a show. If you're a comic book fan, you might not want to watch this show. Or you might want to wash your eyes out after we get done with that segment of the program.
Oh boy!
It was a hell of a week, in terms of a lot of stuff going on, and we're going to get into it here. But as usual, what I first want to say to everybody is, it's down below, but I'll put the ticker up here. The live call-in number, 224-231-4652. If you guys have a comment about any of the stuff we're talking about tonight, we want to hear it. We want to hear your voice. Maybe you think we're way off base on our opinions. Maybe you think we're right on. Well, we want to hear about it. And we also want you guys to subscribe to the channel, youtube.com, The Red Lens. Okay, hit the likes. Share this sucker out with your buddies. If you're a chick out there and you can't believe what we're saying, share this to all your girlfriends that when you sit around and sip on your wine and get loaded.
And try to figure out how to make men's life miserable while you suck the life out of them.
Yes. Yeah. Well, they do that while they have the wine, right?
There you go.
On Twitter, we're here at The Red Lens 1. Facebook is The Red Lens number 1, as is Instagram. We are on the gram, ladies and gentlemen, and on us. If you do that, I promise you, we will give you one of these.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
And make sure you are notified on the air. Recognized, I should say, notified. I'll get a notification, that's for sure. But we want you to get your just accolades, as it has. And what do we got here? We got people in the friggin' chat already. Emmanuel Ale, what is up? What is up, my man? And our Marty, the moderator, is in. The hardest working moderator, the most professional man out here on YouTube. Hashtag super birthing person. Yes, very good. Very good. All right. So, Franklin, I know you're a big comic book guy.
Love them. Right? Love them, love them, love them.
So I thought of you when this story broke this week, and I had to cover it, and I had to have you here when we were covering it. And what am I talking about, ladies and gentlemen? Well, very simply, if you are aware of this, okay, there's been a change in the history or the heredity and the, you know, subsequent offspring lineage of Superman out there. Okay. And lo and behold, I didn't know this until this week, but I did it again. I'm going to have to drop the thing away here while we do this. Let's just do this one. And this is courtesy of CNN. You know, I like to give everybody a fair share to show us what's going on. So I'm just going to let the commentator talk about this for a second.
Well, take this. Today is National Coming Out Day, and in the comic book city of Metropolis, Superman is coming out as bisexual. That's right, the new Superman. His name is John Kent. He's a child of Clark Kent and Lois Lane. He's fallen for another male character in the DC comics. And let's just be real, coming out gives all of us in the LGBTQ community our very own superpower, the power to be ourselves, the power of autonomy.
The shit's gonna hit the fan.
All right. Right off of Jump Street here. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, right off a jump. There is nothing, and I don't know if I can do the, I can drop away and come back in. Yes, I can. That's tremendous. See the things they do on this platform now. Yeah. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, time out. There is nothing liberating or anything about taking a character or some subset of a character, in this case, Clark Kent's only son, and changing his sexuality. All right.
What's his name? John Kent?
John Kent.
John Kent.
Good old Johnny. Johnny, come lately, or maybe,
not at all.
maybe not even at all. But this is again. We're gonna continue with this, but again, this is something that there's nothing noble about hijacking something that already exists. Okay, something that's already been established. Has 50, 60 some odd years of lore, put into it by creators, illustrators, designers, artists, things like that, and then adjusting it to fit, a popular narrative or thing that you're trying to promote. And let's just continue. I want the whole clip to go through, and then we'll continue here.
So President Biden commemorated the day by saying this: today and every day, I want every member of the LGBTQ plus community to know that you are loved and accepted just the way you are, regardless of whether or not you've come out. He added that the country still has a lot of work to do to achieve equality for all Americans. And listen, coming out is very personal. It is very complicated. Used to be more, it still is very complicated. For many people, it might even be unsafe. And it's one of the most important milestones in an LGBTQ person's life. To anyone at home who may be thinking about coming out, doesn't have to be today. It should be when you are ready, when it feels right for you.
All right. And that's enough of that article. All right. I'm just going to say a piece here right now. Again, the fact he's talking about two different things. Okay. He's talking about one thing steeped in reality for some people, and then equating it to this new comic book and this new character. Okay. As some kind of, this is momentous. This is our thing. This is, this is going to change things for us.
And I'll
say this to, anybody. I think it would be more impactful if they actually created a totally complete new bisexual, pansexual, whatever sexual you want character in the comics, and have them have their own origin story, everything like that. And then this way, it can truly be something that is identifiable and tangible. It's not just going to be something you hijack or you adjust. Okay. And I could be wrong, Franklin, but what do you say?
I don't think you're wrong at all. Cause the thing of it is for people around our age, give or take a little, up or down, we know Superman. How do I say it? We know Superman as Superman. Okay. We don't know him as having a son that came out. Okay. I mean, it's sort of kind of throws everything back to way what, how do I say it? I wish it was the old way. You know what I mean? If somebody had their own ideas about this, it might have made a more of an impact than changing something that's been around for a long time.
Yeah. Now, and again, when we say like, oh well, you know, the old times and how it is, to me, it's not even that. It is, again, taking something that already exists, that's already established. Okay, and then trying to gain some new notoriety from it, you know. So, you know, trying to make something brand new from something that already exists. And to me, that's never going to be as good as creating something from the ground up, you know, to, in my opinion.
What's next, Archie Andrews?
I know. Jughead and Archie.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
You know? Although Franklin, they had that. They had Archie get killed defending somebody that was homosexual. So
what? Yeah, I must have missed that. I didn't know that.
They actually had a comic that I think it sold for some good money, and lo and behold, yeah, he got taken out by, you know, somebody, you know, a crazy gunman that didn't like the guy. And he stepped in front of him, and that was it. Archie's gone.
You mean a gunman in Riverdale?
Yeah. Which is very crazy when you think about it.
Left to take care of Betty and Veronica, Jughead?
That's right.
I hope that prick Reggie didn't get it, because I never liked him, and he's a jerk.
Marty says, pink kryptonite turns the... Oh, my God. Yeah. I wonder if they're going to have some pink kryptonite in there.
Well, I guess that probably means that his treehouse, I guess, will have a breakfast nook or something, I guess, right?
Right. Florida Jeff says Siegel and Schuster are rolling over in their graves. Yes. Yes, they probably are. Emmanuel L., Superman being bisexual isn't an attack on masculinity necessarily. It's just an empowerment agenda for the LGBT community. Well, you know, this is a great point that Emmanuel brought up here. And I think a lot of people will have his opinion and point of view. You know, I do feel that it is a quasi attack on masculinity in general, in the sense that, again, we talked about this last week with the Boy Scouts, you know, being dissolved, basically.
Right.
You know, they are systematically, little by little, here and there, trying to change, diminish, or remove certain icons of masculinity that men have identified with since, you know, in this case, the 30s, 40s.
Right.
But I think the masculine man as a literary sense has really been established since the 50s. I mean, we know we had the Vikings and all those crazy, you know, those things, the knights back then, but in a, you know, an organized high tech, you know, society with, you know, communities like we know it today. The 50s are kind of like that benchmark starting point. But, you know, to me, I think it is, because, you know, today it's adjusting Superman's offspring. Tomorrow it's, you name it, Franklin.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things I was saying, okay, I mean, I think what Emmanuel is trying to say is, okay, it's not, how do I say, not Superman himself, it's his boy.
True, true,
True. Almost boy, right. I guess. Whatever.
Right. Because I agree with you. I think if they tried to do it with Superman himself, there'd be a lot of, you know, first of all, they'd probably get sued by like some of the creators of DC. We also see it with James Bond. You know, there's this latest James Bond, which I have decided I probably am not going to see in the theaters.
Yeah.
But they, you know, he is, the story picks up him in retirement. So he's already on the sidelines with a new 007 being a female. Okay. And I'm not going to ruin it for the people out there in the audience, but I found out how the movie ends, and it's, you know, literally, you know, this is the final film. You know, I'll just leave it at that.
0069.
Yeah. If only it was that good.
Yeah.
Again, you know, it's little bits here and there. And eventually, you know, if you take one thing away, or just one thing, or, you know, you kind of say, oh, well, you know, the Mary Sue character, you know, is just, you know, what's her name? Rey from Star Wars. She's just like Luke, you know, she has the same, you know, she has the same story. They're synonymous, only she's a girl and she's doing the same things. Well, no, it's not, because she never had the heroic journey. You know, she never started from, you know, knowing nothing and being oblivious to the world and finding, you know, and we see it all the time. We see it all the time in the hero movies we watch. So that's why it's not the same. So let's get to some of these comments here real quick before because I am not the only one that took exception to what they did here with Superman's offspring.
I hear Lois Lane didn't like it either.
Well, she would be compassionate, right?
Yeah, what did she? Right, exactly. What did she have to say about it?
So, she, she probably would say this.
How dare you?
Let's see.
Superman.
Let's see. Mighty Zane is in the house. An amazing Thursday night broadcast. Hit the like button on the way in. Yes, you better believe it. Hit those likes. Share this out. Share it with your buddies. Put it on some college website. That'd be good. we have good. That's kind of like the intelligence we're at sometimes. College humor. Mr. Goodbread Scott is in the house. He wants to know what is up. You are up, my man, on screen. There were talks of even making an LGBTQ Captain America. Oh boy, that would be great.
With makeup on? Really?
Oh yeah.
Oh my.
What am I talking about? Thor is now the hammer, no pun intended, is going to be given to a woman in the next Marvel cinematic universe Thor. I know.
I'm so Thor, I could hardly sit. Never mind. That was a good one.
We'll know when they demand a change to super person. Man is toxic after all. Yeah.
Oh,
well,
boy.
That's coming. That is coming, Marty. That is coming right down the road. Good thing Superman is invulnerable, so he can't go under the knife and get. Oh my God! It says self change.
Super person. Wow, I didn't think of that.
Mr. and Mrs. Goodbread Show is in the house as well. Lilith and Lucifer plan is in effect. Lilith stated she only spearing the Transformer boys, much like how the modern women ruin their boys. Okay, so Mr. Goodbread Show, he and his better half, I guess, that is their what they're chiming in about. Let's see. But take pride in the rainbow, sons. Like, okay, he's getting very biblical, Franklin. He's getting very.
I know there's a God somewhere. There's a God somewhere.
No, we are not oblivious to that. King Ba 111. Hello, all. What is up? What is up, my man? All right. So, like I said before, Franklin, we are not the only ones that had an issue here with what was going on. Mm-hmm. And I'd be remiss if I didn't share. And this is a guy whose opinion I think matters, because he's a guy that actually he has a history with Superman, at least on screen in some way. And that is Dean Cain, the actor who played the Man of Steel in 1993. The TV show was Lois and Clark, for mm-hmm. those kids that didn't necessarily know or weren't around then. It actually was the first like grown-up version, because he played like a 20-something,
right?
You know, Clark Kent mm-hmm. in at the time, modern 90s, you know, USA, so to speak. And it kind of delved into like their relationship a little bit, all wise, like pivoting around regular stories about Superman. But he had something to say about it, so let's see what. Actually, did I screw this up? I probably did. Hold on, let me drop this back.
I thought it would look like it played right.
You know what it is? I always forget to share the audio. I want people to hear it. So here we go.
Day after this story broke, DC Comics revealing the superhero son of Clark Kent and Lois Lane will start a romance with his male best friend just 2 months after Robin came out as bisexual, of course, in the Batman series. Here's the headline. John Kent finds his identity in Superman, son of Kal-El. New Superman comes out as bisexual, available at comic book shops on November 9th. Having actually been Superman, having actually been Clark Kent, what's your reaction?
Look, it's hard for me to keep track of all the different Superman and the different worlds and adventures that he has in the comics. But what from my, I can gather, it's Lois and Clark's son, John. And I don't think they said it's bold and it's bold new direction. I say they're bandwagoning. You know, Robin, as you mentioned, just came out as bi or gay recently. And honestly, who's really shocked about that one? I had some thoughts about that a long time ago. But is gay. My daughter in Supergirl, where I played the father, she was gay. So I don't think it's bold or brave or some crazy new direction. If they had done this 20 years ago, perhaps that would have been bold and brave. But brave would be having him, you know, fighting for the rights of gay people in Iran, where they'll throw you off of a building for the offense of being gay. They're talking about him fighting, you know, real world problems like climate change, the deportation of refugees, and he'll be dating a hacktivist, whatever a hacktivist is. I don't know. But, you know, why don't they have him fight the injustices that created the refugees that whose deportation he's protesting? That would be brave. I'd read that. Or fighting for the rights of women to attend school and have the ability to work and live, and boys not to be raped by men under the new warm and fuzzy Taliban. That would be brave. There's real evil in this world today, real corruption and government overreach, plenty of things to fight against, human trafficking, real actual slavery going on. It'd be brave to tackle those issues, shine a light on those issues. As far as, you know, I'd like to see the character doing that.
Well, there you go. And, you know, he said a lot there, and you know, I think he's 100% right. You know,
agreed.
You know, it's the pushing, you know, latching on to something to, you know, get an agenda, just so that, you know, you could be current, okay, but not so much a total change as getting to the root of the problems. You see, like, some of you guys, again, I'm talking about stuff that like maybe half the audience isn't going to get.
Right.
But there was a horrible Superman movie, which was the fourth one in the Christopher Reeve one, which to my opinion will always be Superman. Okay. But the Quest for Peace. Okay. At the time, you know, at that time, nuclear missiles were big, you know, and what are we going to do about all of them? And, you know, they could really be a problem if, you know, they get into the wrong hands. So he went and he rounded them all up and, you know, got rid of them. You know, I'm not going to ruin it for everybody that might want to see that movie. Don't pay too much to see it, but you can go and see that. But again, you know, Dean Cain is right on the money here. you know, do something big, do something that matters, that means something to the crux of the issues. And that means, you know, taking care of the terrorists who beat up homosexual people, you know, kill them for God's sake, and then also demean women. Okay. Because we see that in Afghanistan just now, that everything that the women had that they kind of worked for and towards the last decade we were there is all for naught, because now they can't wear regular clothes anymore. Okay. They can't go to school. I just saw something on the news.
So did I a couple of days ago.
One of the ladies who runs the place basically says, we got to teach in like cryptic algorithms on the computer in hopes that these guys don't come around and do something to us. So, you know, again, with Dean Cain, let's do something and portray something and work on something in a Superman comic that, you know, can really, you know, be for something and for the betterment of other people.
And not be for naught.
Right. But I mean, what do you think about what he said?
Well, I listened to everything he said, and I listened to it twice, and he's right. there are a lot more things that are a lot more important that, you know, that Superman should, I'm sorry, his boy should be fighting for, type of a thing. You know what I mean? I just think they're, you know, barked up the wrong tree.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Florida just says, who really cares? No one buys new comic books anymore. This is not the 50s anymore, when a single issue would sell over a million copies. And Florida Jeff knows something about comics because he comes from a family that does a lot of things in that realm. And he's right. You know, at the end of the day, it doesn't really mean a whole heck of a lot. You know, I think this is a story that is here for this week and then goes away by next week. But again, I'm bringing it up as just another example of how I feel. And the thumbnail says, you know, we are inching towards the end of at least what is traditional masculinity. And, you know, again, the archetypes of at least my generation and maybe a tick below me have identified with for, you know, since they grew up. You know, it's going to be extremely interesting to me to see what is masculinity and the outlook of it when, say, relatives of mine's children are, you know, my age or maybe even a little bit younger than me. You know, what is that going to look like? So very interesting. Eric Wright says, hey, my shoulder is really bad. What do you think of a padded muscle shirt so I can meet girls at parties? Well, Eric, you know, I think that is awesome. I think you should do that. But, you know, some people might think,
ha! Gay!
Which might be apropos for this show. That is sickening. Kingba, I know. I know. For example, okay. So Eric wants, for example, go over. Yeah, are you? I think Eric is might be Quasimoto. I think that's what might be happening here. I think that could be the what's going on. Superman in comics peaked in the 50s, 60s, by the 70s. As morals and values of the country's decline, so did the comics, making his son gay and pandering to LGBTQ+. All they can do is just stay relevant. That is an opinion of many people. Mighty Zane, the extinction of male spaces has contributed greatly to the decline of my... That's right.
Got a point, sure.
You know, and Mighty Zane brings up a tremendous thing. There are no... Oh, very few male-oriented clubs, spaces, you know, activities that were traditionally for men, you know, in general. So, You know, so that's that.
What about the Boys Club? Remember the Boys Club from back in the, what was it, 50s, 60s, or whatever it was? Mm-hmm. Do they still exist?
What do you mean?
The Boys Club? Boys Club of America?
I think they do.
Do they still exist? Okay.
I don't know. 100. Maybe somebody in the chat can look that up for us. Does the Boys Club of America actually exist and operate today?
Yeah, I'm too lazy to look.
So, okay, a lot of people talking about they're nuts here in the chat.
Everybody's a nut.
This might have been a bad topic. all right. So, again, what I wanted to do here is just illustrate that, and I think maybe we'll have some fun right now. Maybe we'll do a little thing here and we'll take a look at some of the guys that have actually were Superman. So
George Reeves.
And this is some list I came across, and the best Superman actors are ranked here. This guy, John Newton, appeared as Superboy in 1988. Okay. So this was, I guess, the first real action TV series. Okay.
I remember him.
He said, I had my own anti-Chris Reeve thing going on, which he overdid. Okay. So he tried too much. Jared Christopher was the Adventures of Superboy. Okay, I guess he took over in that series. Okay. He was said it was a scary but awesome responsibility. Kirk Allen. Oh, this is 1948.
48. Wow.
Okay. So this guy must actually predate the guy that my late father probably would have been identified as Superman. I'm sure he's on this list.
George Reeve, right?
Yes. Yeah. Tyler Hoechlin. Supergirl and Superman and Lois. Okay. I didn't even know that they had a modern Superman and Lois, real life show. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, neither did I.
Okay. So they actually have one. And Dean Cain, as we just saw before, right. That was again, 93 to 97. So good chunk of the 90s. Brandon Routh. Everybody, now the younger generation that's watching us will identify this guy. That's in 2006. That wasn't a bad movie. I have to say, I didn't hate it. Tom Welling, who was in Smallville.
That's right.
And that was like the new millennia Superman, for all the new millennia girls out there, girls and guys. Not a bad, this was actually not a bad show. I have to say, because they... Oh, you should have told me that the border was up. I'm over here showing people. All right. So basically, this wasn't a bad show because the premise was kind of like it took place when like the meteor fell and all that stuff. So it wasn't a bad one. I'm not talking about voice actors. Here's George Reeves.
Yeah, George Reeves.
There you go. So this was like the 50s. Like if you grew up in the 50s, this was your guy in terms of Superman. A crazy story about him. If anybody out there wants to take a look at it, there was a I think it's like a VH1
behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes, they were crazy documentary.
Really?
About this guy. Yeah. A lot went on with him. Here's what all the modern kids know of Superman, Henry Cavill. And here we go, the number one guy. You can't get better than this. I'm sorry. I hate, to all you millennials out there, you can't get any better than this dude, Christopher Reeve. He was like the perfect Superman, because he was able to play both roles. He looked the part. It was just tremendous. So
cowlick.
Yeah. The overgrown cowlick. Absolutely. Let's see here. The Extinction of Male Space. Oh, yeah. Yes, we got that. Okay. Here we go. All right. Boys Club of America has been renamed
People's Club of America.
I like it. I love that. Oh, here we go. That's it. Oh, my.
Oh, my.
In my opinion, the best Superman is George Reeves from the 50s. Kirk Allen, who you mentioned, was in Serials in the 40s. Okay. All right. So there you go. A little clarification by our resident encyclopedia of knowledge, which is Florida Jeff.
Esteemed scholar.
Yes. Well, maybe not so much esteemed, but maybe not so much of a scholar either.
Oh,
yeah. All right. And the last thing, and this was actually for you, Franklin.
Was it now?
You asked me for this. You brought it up. And I want to actually do this for you to end our little analysis of Superman and what's going on with him today. We will take a look at some of the lovely women that were in that show of Smallville. Okay. Christine Kruk.
Christine Kruk, yeah.
Oh, is that how you pronounce it? Okay. She played Lana Lang.
Mm.
Okay. Very nice. I see why you like her.
Mm-hmm.
So did JJ. He gave her 5 stars here. Erica Dorace played Lois Lane. Joe. She was all right. She had some look. Allison Mack. We all know where she ended up.
Wait a minute.
Living on the show.
That's right. Okay.
She is. She's doing some time now. Franklin.
That's right. She was involved in that. Some kind of
yeah. Some kind of thing. We'll leave it at that. Very strange. Annette O'Toole, who played Martha Kent, ironically, okay, she played her the mother in the series, but she was Lana Lane in Superman 3.
Was she? I didn't know that.
And looked very nice.
Hey now.
In that one.
Ginger.
Cassidy Freeman. And let's see who else. Laura Vandervoort played his sister, okay, who in this show anyway did not come out as bisexual or anything like that. she was just hot, so that's good. These are some, I think, now we're getting into some other characters, but we will take a look because these are very nice to look at here. Rikma Sharma. Oh, there you go. What do you think she is? Nationality?
I'm going to say probably some Pakistan, Indian. Definitely Desi, which I think is a combination of the two or a name for the two. You can say nowadays without getting in trouble or yelled at. If you say Desi, what's that?
We can say that without
being... We sure can. D-E-S-I. Okay. We can say that in general. You won't get yelled at.
All right. That's good. Okay, so Jane Seymour. Obviously, like I said, we're getting into different people. Okay, so that's that. I thought it would be nice, Franklin, and we'd give our followers just a little something nice to end that segment on.
That was very good of you.
Yeah, I try, but it's funny that we bring this up, but. Masculinity and how people identify as masculine or not is very interesting because today I was looking at this poll, Franklin, and basically there is 15% of men that do not know, or I shouldn't say do not know, but they do not identify as either masculine
mm-hmm.
or feminine. They feel that they are like fluid in that sense, that some days they feel, I guess some days they feel feminine and other days they don't.
Oh boy.
And I mean, you know, I mean, in terms of that, it's like, you know, you got to say,
okay,
and look sideways at them. You know, I mean, have you ever felt like you were less masculine on certain days?
Probably Tuesday. No, no, actually, I don't think I ever felt less of a man at any time. Okay, you know what? I did shed a tear when old Yeller died.
Did you?
Shed a tear for when old Yeller died.
Hold on. Feelings don't coincide with how you feel, whether you feel masculine or not.
Yeah, that's true.
Now too, you can have feelings and not be like an emotionless, you know, rock and, you know, just, you know, devoid of any feelings. You don't want to go through life like that. Florida Jeff says, where was Terry? That's right. Yeah, that's right. Where was Terry Hatcher in that whole thing? You know, that's a good point. I'm surprised they left her out. You know what?
Marty says on his heavy flow days, he probably feels less of a man.
Is that what he feels like? You know, is that what he feels like? All right. So you know what? They're 100% right here. So what I want to do is
I forgot about Terry Hatcher. Tell you the truth.
Yeah, but we're not going to forget her. We are not going to forget her here on this program. Okay. So we're gonna look at all the ones that she has here. Look at this. Look at these pictures of her.
Oh, wait. God.
There you go.
Oh, wait.
And let me see. Can we? Can I bring any one of these up? I want to take a look at this one. Especially. Let's see. Can I? I'll drop this away.
Wow.
And I'll bring the border up because this actually for her. I think this is a good picture. Franklin. I think this one is good. Let's see.
With the border. Put you right on the border. Okay.
There you go. Right here. You know?
Still holding it down.
Still holding it together a little bit. So we'll, I'll give her a.
Hey now.
For that. All right. So enough of that. There we go. Enough of that. Okay. Let's move on. Now, Franklin. You know, we did all the stuff with Superman here and his kid.
His boy.
But his boy. But, you know, cancel culture itself is on full alert and full effect. And it was coming after two people that I was kind of shocked about one of them, to be honest with you. I was really shocked about one of them, and I'm going to share out this first one real quick here for you guys.
All right.
And it was Dave Chappelle, okay? And what happened was he had his last special on Netflix, okay? Basically, he did a lot of jokes about the LGBTQ community. Okay.
Right.
On his special, The Closer. That's what it's called. And I actually watched it because I heard about the whole dust up. So I was like, okay, I got to check it out. Cause if I'm going to talk about it, I got to know what the hell I'm talking about.
Right.
So basically, he said, look, you know, it's, you know, they're too sensitive, okay, and they overreact about everything, and they feel that, you know, they're the only oppressed ones, okay. Mm-hmm. So, and he went on to say, and I'm not going to say it here, but you know what, Twitter, you know what, NBC News, I'm not talking to any of them. I'm talking to the audience right now.
Right.
So yeah, he went out on them. So he said, what we really need to do is cancel is hate. Okay. And he's, cancel fear, cancer, you know, and have to, you know, love, and, you know, we shouldn't be canceling that, you know. And he doesn't, you know, he got kind of deep. He said he believes that wasn't even God's intention, you know, to be canceling people over their differences and their opinions. Mm-hmm. Okay. So they thought they were going to, you know, they thought they were going to put the hammer down on him, you know, and, you know, the fact that he said that gender is a fact, every human being, on earth, had to pass the legs of a woman to be on earth. And then he kind of made jokes about, you know, the genitalia of trans women. He also defended J.K. Rowling, who came up against that too, and they labeled her as transphobic and stuff like that. And then GLAAD came out and said that comics are, you know, synonymous with, you know, ridiculing trans people and marginalizing the, you know, their communities in general. And, you know, to me, the history of a comic is to poke fun at society, and especially how society is at that time, you know.
Now it's called satire.
Yeah. Now it's called satire. But, you know, hey, I wear this hat that is from, you know, and I'll probably get flagged for even saying his name, that Steven Crowder sells, okay? And it says, you know, there are only two genders, change my mind. And I wear the hat because that's what I believe.
Right.
You know, I believe there's men and there's women, okay? Now, you can choose if you feel that you have it in you to transition to another, you know, to a woman or to a, you know, man, you know, back to a man or whatever, you know, what have you, but that's your choice.
Yeah. Do it on your dime.
Well, yeah, that's a whole other ball game, you know.
Yeah.
You know, people flipping the bill for other people's stuff and, you know, other people, you know, prisoners and their medications.
Don't get me started on that.
I know I won't, but, that's just how it is, you know, and that's, and again, I'm not saying that you can't be gay. I'm not saying that you can't be trans, okay? But you start as one or the other, you know, in the rare cases where, you know, you're kind of both, you know, and
oh my,
that happens, you know. You know, I think George should be critical of that. You know, calm down.
Good old.
But that's just how it is. And for them to, you know, come out after him about that and try to cancel him, that's kind of stupid. You know, I mean, that's
who was it? Netflix? I'm not sure if it was Netflix or Hulu. They said they weren't going to cancel. They were going to stand behind him.
Oh yeah, well, Netflix paid a lot of money. They paid him a ton of money, and this was like the last of, like, I think five stand-up shows that he did over mm-hmm. the last course of the last 5 years. I think he did one a year where he filmed it at a particular location. So, you know, they paid a lot of money to have him do this. So they're not going to just say, okay, well, now we're not going to get money back on our investment. Mm-hmm. You know, let's say it was $1 million. I don't know. I just guessed. I don't know. I don't know what it could be. But you think they're not going to try to recoup some of that money, you know, in terms of subscribers watching and joining and whatnot? And to them, this is great.
Cancel. Yeah, it's great.
To Netflix, this is great. You know, I mean, controversy is the biggest thing you could have if you're a broadcasting station that is looking to get eyeballs on the set. And we know this because we live in the YouTube world here. So
I'm glad that Netflix, like you said, decided to keep it going, because you know what? I subscribe to Netflix and I'm glad of it.
Yeah. Let's see. What are your thoughts on former head coach of the Raiders? Mighty Zane, you must have ESP, my friend, because he says, what are your thoughts on former head coach of the Raiders, John Gruden, and his situation earlier this week? Well, lo and behold, he is also part of this little segment of cancel culture on alert that I'm talking about. And that is because I'll do it right now. It's a perfect segue to drop this in here. And we're going to do it right now. Here we go. Let's just, you know, and I got this clip. It's basically John Gruden resigns. He had to resign as coach of the Raiders by the fact that his personal emails came up in an investigation, Franklin, for the Washington football team, which, again, speaking of PC, we can't even call them the you-know-what skins anymore.
Can I call them that?
I don't know. Who knows? Maybe I don't know if YouTube will ban us for saying it.
Well, I don't. Okay, I don't want that to happen.
But basically, they were under investigation for some other shenanigans, and they found these emails from John Gruden. We'll talk. You know, again, we will talk about it here. Let me just grab. I want to get Zane's comment out of the way here so we can see this. Basically, I want to just play this real quick because I like to get the people, the video of the people talking about it. Now, this is ESPN's Total Access show, mm-hmm. and they kind of had a little take on this.
Exposed an email back in 2011 that he sent to Washington executive Bruce Allen describing Demoris Smith in racist language. And apparently that was the tip of the iceberg. For more on this story, we're joined now by Tom Pelissero and our NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport. Tom, what more can you tell us about how all this unfolded?
Omar, this really played out within the past couple of hours with the Las Vegas Raiders. John Gruden had a variety of discussions over several days since Friday when the Wall Street Journal first published that email from 2011 about Demoris Smith. Then this evening, within the past couple of hours, the New York Times published other emails that also had been provided by the league to the Las Vegas Raiders. At that point, it became clear to John Gruden that his time as the Raiders coach was over. My understanding was this was a conclusion that John Gruden came to himself. He decided to resign, met with owner Mark Davis about it this evening. Then within the past hour here, John Gruden met with his staff to let them know that he is out. At this point, we do not know who the Raiders' interim head coach is.
All right. So let me see if it says here in this article about what he exactly said in those emails.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. I was looking around because for that. I didn't see that.
I know it was here. Again, he... Again, the investigation, just to be clear, was an investigation into misogynistic culture of the Washington football team. Okay. And Gruden had sent an email to their president at the time in 2011. Okay. Saying that the head of the National Football League's Players Association, this Demoris Smith, he said that his name should be Demoris Smith, has lips the size of Michelin tires. Oh, my God. All right. So now, if anybody doesn't know what that is, okay, let me bring this up. Okay. Bring this up real quick here. Okay. We just go to images and what?
You know, I'm sorry, but you know, it just came up in my head just now.
Right.
I'm thinking of all of this, and you know, it just came up in my head who would probably outdo him is Marge Schott.
Yeah, maybe.
You I'm might sorry, be right. But, oh, I thought you was right.
So let me just stop sharing this to bring this one up for you. And for those in the audience that don't know the reference to the Michelin Man, This is the Michelin Man. Okay. So I guess in some way or the other, he's saying that this guy has the appearance of this guy's face. His lips are large, I guess. So that was what was going on there. Okay. He goes on to say that, he referred to Commissioner Roger Goodell, and this is probably the biggest one, right, as a slang for a homosexual person.
Okay.
I'll leave it at that. And he's a clueless anti-football word for a woman's nether regions. Okay. That I think is probably the worst one in terms of why they kicked him out of his position, because you can't yell at the boss and talk about the boss like that and still keep your job. He also said that they should not have pressured the then St. Louis Rams coach, Jeff Fisher, to draft, a queer. Okay. I think that's a safe term I can use in terms of explaining things.
Poof.
And he was referencing the football player Michael Sam, who was the first openly gay player to be drafted into the NFL back in 2014.
I remember that.
Subsequently, just as a footnote on that, that guy never made the team. Okay, he never officially made the full team there. So, be that as it may. My points on this, I'll say, these were emails that he sent privately, one person to another.
I have a problem with that, actually.
That's tough to take, okay? Because if we cannot, if I send you an email, Franklin, and I say, oh, that Florida Jeff, he's a XYZ, and you share that with him and then he gets mad at it, that's almost like a violation of my privacy that I would have speculated would be private between me and you.
You sent that to me in confidence.
Right.
And I immediately sent it to Florida Jeff.
Right. So that being said, I will say this,
tight end.
It was a little much too much of a, he overwent, he kind of went off the rails in terms of what he was saying and how he was saying it. So it was a little heavy. Okay. I'll give the detractors that. Okay. As an NFL coach, as a guy that is in the public eye, as a guy that has seen players and other people get tossed out in this modern PC world, he should have thought a little bit. Even back in 2011, he should have thought about that a little far ahead and said, maybe I don't want this floating around. Because
I mean, Chris, think about it. It's 2011.
Okay? Right.
Who keeps emails that long? Or what server, I guess?
Good point. I guess maybe the team server had it, and then they went back on it to look for other things and they found it very, very strange. Very strange. So the great Richard Pryor was an equal opportunity offender. That's right. That is absolutely right. Ditto on Don Rickles. That's true. The NFL leaked.
Great show.
The NFL leaked them because he was critical of Goodell. Yeah, I agree. I think that piece was, there was a lot there to that one. Gruden's comments may sound bad, but it was a private conversation. If we get a hold of that, publish every person's remarks in private. They practically everyone in the trouble will be canceled. That's right. Especially yours truly.
Hey now. It's a good thing Archie Bunker didn't have email, huh?
Oh yeah, right.
Can you imagine? Oh.
That show would never be made today.
It never would get a green light. But then again, it's interesting. Some of the crappy shows that do get green lights, I'm like, how could that possibly get a green light? But I forget about it. Would never see the light of day.
Mighty Zane says Keyshawn Johnson called him a used car salesman. I wonder if used car sales will protest. Yeah, right. And I'll tell you something about Keyshawn Johnson. If there was ever a me, what about me kind of player, he should look at himself in the mirror a little bit before he starts throwing stones, because those who especially live in the New York area here know all about his career, writing books a year into the league about how he should get the damn ball. Okay. Which literally was the name of the book. Shameless plug for him. Okay. Still. A lot of guys that were his teammates would tell you something about him too. Okay. So, those in glass houses. Anyway, gives new meaning to the words. Yes. Oh boy.
Hello. Hello, Frisco.
Chris, I just assume you tell Frank that that's right. That's true. He's 100% right about that. Franklin may release the emails to Papa Chris. in 2031.
Are you kidding? Nah, man, I can't do that. These emails are gold. I'm putting them on the
very good.
Keep them backed up all the time, just in case.
That's right. He backs up my stuff all the time. Okay, so that's again, cancel culture is bad. They're always on the war path, and they certainly were doing that this time around. That's for sure. Franklin, I got a question for you.
Hope I can answer it.
Do you know what an indigenous person is?
Let's see, an indigenous person. How many guesses do I get?
I'm going to help you out. Okay. I'm going to help you out.
No, actually, I think an indigenous person is somebody that's been in a specific place from the beginning, something along those lines. Right. A native, basically. If I'm not too incorrect on that.
Right. An indigenous person is exactly that. It is somebody that originates and is the first of that particular
generation, maybe?
Well, origin of people in a particular geographic area.
Okay. Yeah, because normally I don't let people call me that.
Yeah, I know. Hey, are you indigenous?
I don't let nobody call me that.
That's right. Hey, I was born in Brooklyn. So I bring that up because we had a holiday not too far back in the past here last week.
Oh, did we?
And it was actually two holidays, so it gets confusing now. Indigenous Peoples Day honors Native American history and culture. Oh. And it actually falls now on the same day as Christopher Columbus Day.
Yeah, what a surprise.
Okay. That holiday was first recognized as a national holiday in 1934 by the then president, FDR. So I didn't know it went that far back, but there you go.
Me either. Not either.
My thoughts on it? Okay. I don't mind it so much. I think if you truly wanted to honor the Native American Indians, I think you should give them their own day. Okay. I think what they're doing is another way of trying to cancel, okay, without really canceling. Okay. Sometimes they do that. Sometimes they use the inclusion thing to kind of skirt issues that they're really trying to get at. And they basically, in my opinion, they want to get done. They want Columbus Day gone is what they want. So they probably couldn't do that. So what's the second best thing to do? Let's put something else on that day and let's call it that. Well, a shared holiday. You know, we have a shared holiday. And they're doing this, okay, because basically they want people to know that Columbus, while he discovered America for that faction of the world that did not know that this area of the world that we live in now, okay, right. Which is, well, it's really the Eastern Seaboard, okay, where he actually landed. But eventually, you know, it starts there, then, you know, goes up and then goes out, basically.
All right.
Now, they say, well, you know, he came here and he was a conqueror and he did bad things to the Native American people when he was here, you know, X, Y, and Z. That is probably true. Okay. I don't know how much factual stuff we have on that. You know, I think a lot of that might be extrapolated and assumed as much. But again, you see in this day and age, we try to, wipe out and erase like the bad stuff or the stuff that kind of was like in the infancy of a civilization that we are now, as we were developing. Okay. You know, it's almost like a segment of our population doesn't want to remember that, oh, well, you know, we had to do some, you know, bad things, and we did some bad things before we knew, you know, what we were and how we wanted to get from point A to point B. You know, we didn't have the forethought, okay, to know that wasn't the right thing to do. Okay.
How long is it going to be before they saw down his statue?
Well, in certain areas, it's already gone.
Yeah, I'm sure of that.
Okay. My point being is that I think we're doing a tremendous disservice to Native American Indians as what we're doing here by not giving them their own holiday and erasing them from some of our many fabled sports teams. Okay, we all know that the Cleveland Indians are no longer going to be the Indians as of next year. They're going to be the Guardians. Okay. We know that the Atlanta Braves, while they didn't get rid of the Braves name, they no longer do the chop. You know, they don't
let you
do this and go, oh, you know. At least I don't believe they let you do that anymore. I don't know. I don't know how they can stop people from chanting, but
getting rid of Wahoo.
You mean the Cleveland? They did a mascot. Yeah. Is gone too. Yeah,
I like you.
Yeah, I mean, well, what more of a benediction can you have for a people in the area in terms of the state of Ohio, in terms of history, than having the damn mascot be a Native American Indian?
Right.
You know, getting ready to slug the ball out of the friggin' park. You know, that's great. You know, it's not showing them like, you know, getting beat up and thrown in a ditch, or, you know, with his hands covered like, we're not doing that here, you know, and it's just getting crazy, you know, and the same thing with the Washington football team. You know, they had the insignia of the chief on their helmet, for crying out loud. You know, that's great.
Didn't they hold out, I should say, to the absolute least? The longest, didn't they hold out for the longest? Like, oh, we're not going to change.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and they finally gave in.
Oh yeah, about 6 years ago. Sorry, that's when it started chirping about it. And I think the then owner, I don't know if he's still the owner, but Dan Snyder was like, "Hey, you can take a leap. You know, right. We're not changing nothing." You know, and then they came out with the alternate uniforms where they just had the arrowhead. You know, a la.
That's right.
Yeah, I always thought it was like kind of akin to the Florida State football team. You know, who again? You know, I think chat. Are they still called the Seminoles, or did they stop doing that? Too?
Jeff would know that.
Yeah, Florida Jeff would know that in the chat. But you know, that's my point with the cancel culture in terms of Indigenous People Day. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's give them their own day. Okay, it can be the day after Columbus or the day before. Okay, you could do it that way. And then you're really honoring a group of people, you know, by making that a federal holiday. There you go. I just solved it. I made everybody awesome, you know, right here. I gave them their own day. You make it a federal holiday, and now you have 2 days off. There you go. You get 2 days off.
We'll take their land. They're just such children. What was it? Blazing Saddles. They're just such children.
But you know that's the thing. You know, it's okay for our history to have bad things, to have things that are not so great.
Right.
Okay. That's what happens in a developing society when you try to, you know, learn how to be civilized and how, you know, how not to do things and how, you know, how things are. And again, you know, what, you know, what we did to them was horrible. Okay. In the infancy of the nation, but you know, it's not something to be forgotten or belittled or just, you know, oh, well, now we have to, you know, at the end of the day here, Franklin, you know, we're going to be going broke having, making up things to all the people that we've wronged in our history as a nation, you know? I mean, you know, and again, we're the only nation that is doing this, okay? You don't see this in Russia, you know? You think Putin's over there listening to people? Oh, no. You know, Stalin, he's SOB, man. You know, we have to take some of his statues down, you know? Get that out of Leningrad.
Leningrad. Yeah.
Yeah, we got to move it. No, I don't think so. You know, they're not doing that, you know, and it's just, it's again, your point of view. Give it to me.
Well, I mean, as it stands, I mean, I've always told you, excuse me, I'm sorry. I've always told you that removing statues and that sort of nonsense always rubbed me the wrong way. Like you said, it is history. Yeah. Are we proud of it? Well, sadly, some are. But you know what? For the most part, it's history, and that's what happened in the infancy of this country. Okay, what can you do about it? Well, you don't really. You want to learn about it, but getting rid of it is not going to make it go away. It's not going to erase what happened. It's just not. Yeah. It's a shame. It's a shame. I don't think that's going to change anything. Germany, for instance, okay. Mm-hmm. Some of the worst atrocities ever known to man, okay, we all know what I'm talking about. Mm. They haven't leveled any of the camps in Poland, Germany, okay, they're still there. As a matter of fact, you can still go there and visit them, okay? Nuremberg, okay? Mm-hmm. Once people go there and see what goes on, yeah, it happened. But you think about history and where you've come from and what has what has gotten better, how you've improved since then. And you, it's a reminder not to go back that way. It's a reminder that we'll never have that happen again, type of thing. Okay.
Absolutely.
I just don't think that knocking down statues and trying to make people think that it never happened or make people forget is really the way to do it.
Absolutely.
That's right.
The Tachi 29 says feminism was created to destroy the African American household. Gloria Steinem was working with the government to disrupt the civil rights movement. You agree, Mr. Franklin?
I don't know, to tell you the truth. I don't know. I'm going to have to look up on that because that was actually very interesting.
Florida Jeff says, I heard some former players were crying over Gruden's remarks and one needed a personal day and the Raiders players were shaken. My God, is this how emotionally fragile NFL players are today? Oh, my God.
I was just getting ready to say.
You know, I think this sums up my feeling on that.
Yeah, what do you suppose would have happened if, you know, football players of old, Johnny Unitas, and you know, some of the old timers, they just gridiron, just, you know.
First of all, you know what? First of all, those dudes wouldn't care anything about anything that you did outside of the, you know.
Outside of the field.
You know, as long as you were there practicing and hitting hard and doing what you had to do on the field, they could give a rat's you-know-what you were doing outside of the place, okay? They might snicker or do whatever, you know, amongst themselves, but they wouldn't give a crap as long as you were given 110% on the field, okay? It's only modern-day players that, you know, have grown up in this woke society the last 20 years here, I would say, you know, and have been indoctrinated to be like, you got to feel. What do you feel about? You know, what do you feel about John Gruden? What he said. You know, that's one of the questions they had. What do you feel? Or, you know, and it's like, come on, give me a break here. You know, You know what I say today? I would say, you know how I feel.
Gay.
That's how I feel.
The football belongs in the end zone.
Yeah. All right.
Won't be able to call it a pigskin anymore. Well, maybe not.
Yeah, that's true. Why won't they demand that a particular Ohio city change its name? That's a good point. They probably don't want to go that far. And the Pilgrim's Point. That's right. That's right. Oh, man.
Hey, now.
Reformulated history, says Kingba 111. That's right. Yep, let's shake it up and pour it out and see if it can be redone. Florida Jeff says, "How do we know the Indians were indigenous to the land? Do we know if they removed others who were here before them? Plus, rival tribes were always warring with each other and taking over their land. That's a good point.
Good point.
That's a great point." You know, we don't know. Yeah, we don't know that. We only know what the frig Columbus found. That's it. That's what we know. So yeah, we don't know if there was another group of people before the Native American Indians, and they scalped them all, and you know, took their land. You know, who knows? That's true.
Quakers.
You know what?
Well, maybe not.
Maybe that's another thing that they could get woke about. You know, the unknown. Indigenous people, those unknown indigenites, you know. There we go.
Indigenous.
The Indians have a title or deeds to the land when the Europeans arrive, when offered to assimilate. Well, okay, hold on. Yeah. Florida Jeff, relax. You know, they didn't even have their own they had their own damn language, but, you know, like they didn't even know English. So, I mean, let's give them a break. Oh, my goodness. Do we ever discuss the Muslims who, beginning in the 7th century, began their raids and took over much of Europe and the Middle East? you ever discuss that the same way as our own atrocity? No, we don't. And our society won't ever, just as I said before, we talked about this just before, Franklin, they don't even want to talk about what they do to homosexual people over there and women. And that's happening today.
As we speak.
You can find that information out, and they choose to not even look at that and talk about that. Okay. If these groups of people that were so, affronted by what is going on in this society, okay, with our many problems, if they really cared, they'd get motivated and do something about what's going on there, because that's sick. Okay. What they do to the, people over there that don't fit into, what they think is right. Instead of the same people calling us imperialists, give them a free pass and blame the Jews in Israel over owning a strip of land the size of New Jersey. Well, I am of the opinion that there will never be a reckoning and a peace of any kind with that. You know, you might get a little stay, where they play nice for about a year or two, but something will happen.
That's what happens.
And they'll be at each other's throats again. So that's just how it is. Those old great players were very progressive. They played both. That, you see right there, ladies and gentlemen, that is absolutely the quote of the day right there. Okay. That is definitely the quote of the day. And in doing that, I must give, if I could find the damn thing.
Hey now.
No. For a quote of the day. Okay. I like to give my men I might have taken it off, Frank.
Oh, no. Not that.
Yes, I did.
Well, the next, give him a hey now, then. That's always good.
You know what I'll do? I'll give him a big, I can't believe I can't find it now.
Uh-oh.
This is not good. Hold on. Here we go. There we go.
That'll work. All right.
Okay. So, let's do a little, what I like to call in this, part of the program, if I can find the damn graphic to put up here, a little quick hit, ladies and gentlemen. This is where we throw up a couple things that I have found to be some noteworthy little quick things that I saw today that we can just comment real quick on. Let's just share this up right now. And I can't believe we have this most common thread here tonight, but this is how it went. And boom, woke activists try and fail to cancel Hollywood legend Clint Eastwood for a decades old Academy Award quip. And if everybody knows that, that was the clip in question comes from 1973 awards, in which the actor Marlon Brando famously refused to accept the award for best actor in The Godfather and instead sent a Native American activist on stage to lament Hollywood's treatment of American Indians in the film industry. Okay.
Really now?
So it said... let's see. I'm representing Marlon Brando this year. Okay. So this Native American man went on stage. Now Eastwood, who at the time had played roles in several popular Western movies, including The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and the cop classic Dirty Harry, then took to the stage to present the award for Best Picture to The Godfather and referenced Littlefeather's remarks before giving out the award. I don't know if I should present this award on behalf of all of the cowboys who shot in all of the John Ward Western films over the years. So 48 years later, that joke drew the ire of the progressive activist Rafael Shamrob, who attacked the actor and the director over the clip. Okay. In 97, actor Shireen Littlefoot booed and cheered at Hollywood. Okay. Here we go. Let's see if this plays.
Accepting the award for Marlon Brando and the Godfather, Miss Shasheen Littlefeather.
That he very regretfully cannot accept this very generous award. And the reasons for this being are the treatment of American Indians today by the film industry. Excuse me. And on television, in movie reruns, and also with recent happenings.
Award on behalf. I don't know if I should present this award on behalf of all the cowboys shot in all the John Ford westerns over the years.
Oh boy! You see, I never knew that, Franklin.
I didn't either. Now that I remember, the first one with the Indian. I remember that, but I didn't remember the actual Clint Eastwood part.
I know. Oh my goodness! All right. Let's. Crazy stuff. See, nobody's safe. So let's share out the next thing I came up with here. Okay. Twitter reacts to claims that VP Harris appeared with child actors in NASA space video. Okay. So last week, the Vice President Harris appeared on YouTube for World Space Day, which was meant to inspire new interest in space exploration. However, it became the ire of scrutiny. Reports that the children were given scripts, and these were actually child actors instead of average kids with genuine interest in space travel. Okay. Harris, who is the chairperson of the National Space Council, was further criticized for appearing in lack of in-depth knowledge of the space exploration in general while she was speaking. So they basically said this was all fake, and this is one of the things where it says children in space. Actors had to audition for the part. Oh my God.
I actually sent you something like this in your email, Chris. I'm sure you got it by now.
Not in the private chat?
No, actually, this was earlier today.
Oh, okay.
It's in regard to this.
The video apparently was produced by a Canadian-based entertainment group here. They booked five teens to participate in the segment film. The UK tabloid also reported the video was shot from August 11th through the 13th. Okay. At the same time, the Taliban had been making rapid advances across Afghanistan. Okay. That's lovely.
What's more important?
So here we go. And this is her post here about Get Curious. So if you want to go on YouTube, you can watch that, guys. Here's somebody, Maria Bartiromo, said, wow, even worse, she used child actors in a space video. Okay, yeah, actually, oh boy. So everybody's lowering the boom here on her.
This was probably one of the reasons half of D.C. was locked down the other day, now that I realize why.
Yep. But okay, so that's if you didn't like her before, you certainly don't like her now.
Can you imagine? Cut. Say it again. Do it again.
No, Johnny. No.
Cut.
Johnny, don't play with that. Don't pick that up. What are you doing? Oh, my God. Let's see What are people saying here? Let's see. Where did I leave off here? I know you guys. Here we go. These old. No, we got that. Oh, okay.
Jeff, I didn't think anybody heard me. I don't think my. I don't think my host heard me. So
I don't. I don't think the sensors got him there for that. But that. And that's your quick hits for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. I want to say again. Thank you to the people in the chat. That was tremendous of you guys to participate that way. I want to actually thank Franklin. As always, you are the man. I cannot do this without you. All right.
Glad to be here.
I
too would like to take a second to thank our lovely panel of guests that we have in our chat. Without them, it just wouldn't be the same.
Absolutely not. We will be back next week, ladies and gentlemen. Again, society might be crazy. It might be out nuts. You can't stand it, but we will never let them get by us. We will always be looking at things through the red lens, and we'll see you next week.